Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claims to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." And this happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given his testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced.
Maybe you know the story of Christ suffering on Good Friday well. Or maybe you're hearing some of that for the first time. But it's important that we remember what Christ's death means for us, or what it could mean. And there's three words in that passage that, if you hear nothing else, I want us to hear this morning, which Christ declares on the cross. And they could be the most significant words we could ever hear. "It is finished." Why don't you turn to the person next to you now and say, "It is finished." It is finished. Get those words in your head. I always hate it when preachers do that, but I just thought I'd have to do that this morning. This is why we celebrate Good Friday. Yes, we're reflective. Yes, we recognise on one hand the tragic nature of events that Good Friday held, but also we celebrate Jesus' death and all he achieved for us in it, because it is finished. And yet so often our Christian lives fail to demonstrate these three words. I think sometimes we forget that it is finished. I think we forget what these words mean. So what was finished? What does the "it" to which Jesus refers to, what does that mean for us? Well, there's three things I want to explore. And firstly, Christ's work is finished. His earthly mission is accomplished. His work of redemption is finished. Jesus said in John 12:23, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago at the 5 p.m, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, "It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." See, it was for this reason that Jesus came to this hour. This was the moment that God the Father was glorified and God the Son was glorified. The moment his great love for the world was revealed so that people might see and believe. This was God the Father's plan, which Jesus sought to fulfill, to bring to completion so that we might be saved. And we can see Jesus' determination come across in John's Gospel and the passage we read earlier as the cross nears. As John 13 says, which we looked at a few weeks ago, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, to the point of death." And through Christ's sacrificial death, God brings about new life, a new start for humanity, because the grave couldn't hold Jesus. He is risen. And every person who chooses to follow Jesus has the seed of resurrection life in them, which will grow and flourish as we follow him, because it is finished. Christ's work is accomplished. And secondly, Jesus has finished defeating the powers of darkness. He has won the victory. He has dealt the decisive, fatal blow to the evil one. Colossians 2:15 says, "Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." God has won. Jesus is the victor. We need not fear evil because it is finished. The victory has been won and the evil one has no rights over us. And if we believe in Jesus and if we trust in him, we can overcome all evil through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Because it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The proof, if you like, that the Holy Spirit is greater than all of the forces of darkness in the world. It is finished. The evil one has been defeated. And finally, our sins have been dealt with. Jesus has finished removing God's wrath from us. Again, Colossians 2, this time verse 13 says, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and he took it away by nailing it to the cross." Without Christ, we are dead. We are cut off from God. We are eternally condemned. But for those of us who trust in him, it is finished. When we repent of our sins, they are removed as far as the east is from the west, because it was finished 2,000 years ago on the cross by Jesus. Our sin was nailed to the cross. Jesus dealt with it personally. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, "If anyone believes in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone." The old has gone. It is finished. So if you believe in Jesus, your past no longer has any hold on you whatsoever. If you're trusting in Christ's sacrifice on your behalf, it is finished. Whatever happened, whatever regrets we might have, whatever you think you can't forgive yourself for, whatever others might still hold against you, it is finished. Because God does not hold it against you. Because it was held against Christ on the cross. It has been paid for. It is finished. Now in the Greek, one word is used for these three words, tetelestai, which can be translated paid in full. You see, Jesus hasn't just put down a deposit for us and then told us to pay off the rest in installments out of our own pockets. He's paid it all up front because humanity was in over its head with the debt of sin. If you're racked with guilt and shame, turn to Christ this morning, because when you do, it is finished. The old has truly gone. The slate has been wiped clean. You are a new creation your old life dead. You risen to new life with Christ. It is finished. Let these words sink deep into your soul and be set free this morning. Every time you come to Jesus, know that it is finished. Every time you confess your sins, know that it is finished, done. You don't have to live your life under the shadow of the things this week, yesterday, maybe even this morning that haven't gone as you'd have wanted, where you think you've failed, you've sinned, you've messed up, because it is finished. You are not a failure. You're a child of God for whom Jesus died. Sin, darkness, and death have no hold on you. It is finished. If you're struggling with an issue, if you think you can't let go of a particular sin, you feel stuck, sort of in a continual downward spiral, then hear the words of Jesus this morning. It is finished. It is finished. You can be set free. If you're desperately trying to piece together your own life, living under burdens and pains of the past, hear Jesus say the three most important words you might ever hear. Right here, right now, it is finished. So now, let the new creation begin. Let the healing begin. Let the resurrection begin. Let new life well up. Let the Holy Spirit transform. Let freedom reign. Let hearts be made whole. Let minds be renewed. Let relationships be reconciled. Let peace reign. Let celebration and joy break out. See, Christians do not work towards their salvation. We work out our salvation. We don't change in order to be saved. We change because we've been saved. We don't do good things in order to earn God's love. We are loved, and so we love others, and we're released to do good things out of the overflow of that. Christ's finished work on the cross, his full and final victory over the powers of darkness, and his payment in full for all our sin, past, present, and future, is the starting point of our faith. And if that is the starting point, brothers and sisters, just think of how glorious our future hope is. New life comes because it is finished. Jesus has done it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's stop living as if it hasn't been finished. Let's stop living in the old. It's gone. And let's start living in the new that's come. Let's trust in Jesus. Let's trust in his saving power. Trust in his victory and turn to him. Let's stop trying to live with one foot in the old and one in the new, because we can't. Let's stop thinking we can't live our lives fully for God. Let's stop living in the lie that our lives and worship could never be acceptable to God because of our past. Let's stop thinking that our best days are behind us, that we'll never regain what's been lost because we've drifted too far, because it is finished. The old has gone, the new has come. Receive the words of Jesus today. Receive the declaration of Christ over your life. His victory cry. It is finished. Amen.